We had been circled, we were circled 13 times at low level by the Israelis before they attacked. We were in this intelligence ship, so we heard the Israeli pilots telling their headquarters that we were an American ship. And then they attacked for 40 minutes, and then torpedoed us, 35 minutes, and then torpedoed us, put a 40-foot hole in the side of the ship, and continued to fire for another 40 minutes after that, firing at medical personnel and life rafts and anything that moved. And then they told the United States that, as soon as we fired the torpedo, we recognized the American flag and stopped firing, and immediately offered assistance. And that was just totally false. They fired for another 40 minutes after examining our flag from 50 feet away. This was just a story that was not coming out in the papers and had to be told. So with the help of a great many of my shipmates, I wrote the book.
Yeah, really, two of them called. One had to leave, and Ron's still waiting. I'll try to get him in so he doesn't have to wait too long. What's the official record? I guess it's the Kidd Report. Is that basically the Admiral Kidd's report? Is that the official record, quote-unquote?
That's the official Navy report on it. It was the Court of Inquiry that was presided over by Admiral Ike Kidd, who was the president of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And that, incidentally, the legal counsel to the Court of Inquiry recently told Navy Times that the Court of Inquiry was a fraud. The court itself didn't believe that it was a tragic accident, but they reported falsely that it was because they were told by Washington to report that.
What was specifically or in general your assignment to put you off the coast of Egypt on June 8th, 1967?
We were an intelligence ship. We had over 100 radio intercept operators down on the ship's second and third deck, where we were actually listening to Russians in Egypt. We were really not concerned about the Six-Day War.
Right. You weren't? Oh, okay. Could you say you were a spy ship, or is that a wrong term here?
We prefer intelligence ship, but the press usually uses the spy ship.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. Did you know, when did you know that these were Israeli war planes that attacked you? You weren't sure at first, were you?
No, we weren't sure, mostly because we didn't expect the Israelis to be shooting at us. We thought they were our friends.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to laugh at something like that, but you wouldn't expect it to come from them, at least I don't think so.
Not at all. I mean, we were circled from daylight, from about 5 o'clock that morning until the attack started at 2. Mm-hmm. So it was 9 hours of more or less constant circling by planes, most of which were marked with Israeli markings, and our interceptor operators heard them telling their headquarters we were American, so we really had no reason to be concerned. We had men sunbathing on deck in bathing suits.
I don't mean anything by this, but is there any way you could make, someone could make a case that the Israelis were justified for what they did that day? I mean, from their standpoint of the state of their war that we probably didn't know that much about then, they never really admitted a real, they said it was a mistake and they never really took full blame for it, but you think they justified it in any way?
Other Israeli writers have justified it that way. There's a book called The Secret War Against the Jews that claims that, yes, it was deliberate, but they did it because they had to knock out our intercept capabilities because we might have been revealing the progress of the war and what they were doing to the Egyptians. Of course, that's silly.
No, it's no way. They weren't allies. No way you would have done that, right? If you had intercepted anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were... The United States has come out since then, was doing a lot to help the Israeli side.
They say, I guess it's reputed that Moshe Dayan, the one that we remember all the time with the eye patch many years ago, Israeli general, was the one that actually called for the strike on you guys?
There are reports that. We don't know that for certain, but the CIA did get fairly reliable reports, which they say they've never evaluated, which say that Moshe Dayan gave the order. It's likely that he did.
You mentioned Othello. I just got this addendum, which I just read this morning. Evan Povney, who is he?
He's one of the pilots. Evan Povney called me years ago from New York and identified himself as one of the Israeli pilots. And he said that he came in on the first attack run, strafed the ship once, saw our American flag, and radioed his headquarters to say that, hey, this is an American ship, I'm returning to base.
Mm-hmm.
And the headquarters told him to ignore the flag and continue the attack.
And what did he do? Was he the one that was later arrested?
He returned to the base where he was arrested and given a baconic discharge out of the Israeli Defense Force.
Isn't that nice? Let me ask you this, James. Was our government at fault at all for putting you in this specific way?
What happened?
Was our government to blame at all for putting you that close to harm's way?
I wouldn't think so. Of course, Israel says it's our own fault for being that close to a shooting war. We did that. We had intelligence ships all over the world where anything interesting was going on, and so did the Russians. Nobody got shot up before that.
I
knew we were American. There's no excuse for it. And they had an obligation under international law not to fire upon neutral ships in the area.
You say in this additional booklet that the NSA, the National Security Agency, about security, had noticed that this might happen. That you were close, I think it was too close to the shore for the close. Israelis might attack you. Does that alarm you at all that they knew about it? They did try to pull you out, didn't they, in some way?
Some solid reports that the U.S. learned that the Israelis were planning to attack us even before we arrived along the coast. In fact, a pretty senior member of the Defense Department gave a talk in Washington just a week or so ago in which he said exactly that. And it was apparently for that reason that the government sent us about five messages urgently telling us to move away from the shore, first 20 miles, then 100 miles. And those were all lost, mishandled, delayed, and not received by us in time to move.
It almost sounds like the snafus around Pearl Harbor and all that kind of thing. But,
that's our thing, yeah.
Other thing, they killed 34 of your crewmates and wounded, 170 others, including yourself. You were severely wounded in many ways. Just what kind of injuries did you suffer?
I was fourth level of the ship on the signal bridge. I had pointed the ship when the first jets came over firing rockets and missiles that hit all parts of the ship around me, and I was hit by shrapnel from those explosions, which broke my leg and splattered down my left side. So I had a broken femur. I was in a hospital for about
time. I mean, what happened to the many people in Japan? I told you I read the book, The Indianapolis, or In Harm's Way, about the Indianapolis, and I found myself getting personally interested in the various guys you mentioned. I go back to the survivor list or the deceased list in the front to see who made it and who didn't, and it's kind of a spooky way of reading the book, but it's, I did that twice in the last 2 months. One other question I want to get Ron from L.A. I don't know which Ron this is, probably a lot of them that are still from that. They tried this. They strafed your lifeboats. They tore up most of the means of escape and all that. How come they didn't finish the job? I mean, the help was not on the way for a long time, was it not?
We were told the help was not indeed on the way for a long time, but within 10 minutes of the attack starting, we managed to get through the jamming and reached the Sixth Fleet, and were told that help is on the way.
Yeah.
And they must have heard that.
Oh.
I think they left because they thought the American jets were going to arrive and blow them out of the water.
Yeah. And that would have been something. All right, I'm going to go to Ron in L.A. Don't go while you're still on. Ron, yeah, thanks for waiting so long. Now, you want to identify yourself so Jim knows who you are or what?
Sure. My name is Ron. I'm out in Los Angeles and listening to your show on the Internet.
Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't on the ship, then. My mistake.
I'm sorry?
Were you on the ship?
No, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you know that he's one guy already called in and I lost him. But okay. So, wait, you have a question for Lieutenant Ennis?
Well, I do. First of all, I'd like to say it's a real pleasure to meet you. Over the phone, at least.
Mm-hmm.
At the time your ship was attacked, I was working for a sister agency in Vietnam, United States Air Force Security Service, and we were getting reports then. We probably knew more about who was attacking you before you did, because of the intercepts that we were getting.
Mm.
And it was very clear from those air-to-ground intercepts that Israeli pilots knew exactly what they were doing, that this was an American ship and that they were hunting for it, they found it, and they were trying to kill it.
Mm.
I'm just wondering, why hasn't the United States government ever investigated this? I've read things by this guy down in Florida, Crystal, who claims that there have been all of these investigations. But I've searched this subject thoroughly, and I've yet to find any. Could you comment on that?
All right, I think you have something to tell you. You want to answer that?
Yeah. The Crystal book is interesting because he claims over and over and over. In fact, he just made a claim in the current issue of Sea Power magazine that 13 investigations were conducted and that they all exonerated Israel, and that's just utter baloney.
Oh, yeah, right.
What they did, I mean, there were several times which someone was asked, like McNamara was asked by a Senate committee, what about the Liberty? Why can't we learn the truth about this? And he gave them the usual government double talk that, well, we have no evidence that it was a deliberate attack. That appears in Crystal's book as an investigation which exonerated Israel. It wasn't an investigation at all. In fact, the senators in the committee clearly didn't believe McNamara.
your addendum here mentions Adlai Stevenson, United States Senator and the son of the governor of Illinois, Adlai Stevenson, ran for president twice. He was involved in trying to get an investigation off the ground. What happened to him?
He invited me to his Senate office shortly before his term was up, and we spent 2 hours talking about the Liberty, and then he put me together with his staff and Senator Goldwater's staff. They asked me more questions and looked into it, and the staff advised both senators that they should keep their hands off this issue because it was too politically sensitive and would only hurt them.
Okay.
Actually, they did. Goldwater wouldn't touch it, but Senator Stevenson did go ahead and tried to get an investigation and gave a call of news conference in which he said that it's clear that the attack was deliberate and I'm going to try to get an investigation.
And you make a kind of an estimation of what happened to his political career as opposed after doing this?
His political career pretty much ended after that. He was he ran for governor of Illinois and lost, and there are many people that think that he lost because his support for the Liberty cost him the Jewish vote.
Okay, John's back. John's back. He's long distance. Where do I got numbers? Oh, line three. Excuse me. John, is this John from New York?
This is John Rankowski.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry I lost you the last time.
No problem.
Hey, you want to add anything? You know Jim. I'm sure you know
him. Oh, God, Jim is my brother.
No big question. I feel like I'm in a reunion here.
I just want to give him some support, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, where were you when the attack happened?
I was in the engine room.
Uh-huh.
And probably about 15 feet from where the torpedo hit.
Oh, my Lord. Most of the guys were wiped out in that area, weren't they?
Yeah, just that small little area.
Yeah.
And just about 25 were killed all at once.
Right. Right, that was the worst part of it.
Yeah, that was the toughie.
What you were injured, I assume. What happened to you?
I got hit on a first pass. I was topside,
uh-huh.
Just having a smoke break. And I got hit from shrapnel,
mm-hmm.
but ran into my general quarters space, which is in the engine room, and we started letting off the one boiler that was not lit, and we were trying to get steam.
Mm-hmm.
And within 10, 15 minutes, these planes just pulverized the ship, knocked out all the power a couple different times, stopped the generators. Started fires. I mean, these Israeli pilots were phenomenal.
Did you have any idea what was happening to you?
Not at all.
Sure.
No, we'd known that the Israeli air war was going on. We thought it might have been Russia or the Arabs.
Yeah.
No, we had no idea.
Okay. Well, John, thanks for joining us, okay?
No problem.
Yeah, I got another long-distance call. This is Jim. I don't know, were you with the ship, Jim, or...?
No, I was not.
Okay, you have a question for the Lieutenant Ennis?
Yes, I have a question or comment.
Sure. It's
my understanding that about the time that this happened, that the Israelis actually assassinated a number of Egyptian prisoner of wars and then had a mass burial.
Mm-hmm.
It's my further understanding that has subsequently been verified. I'd like you to comment on that. And then the other comment I have is that Israel claims that this was an accident.
Yeah.
Just recently, they... Mm-hmm. Israelis ran over Rachel Corrie with a bulldozer, then backed over her.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed that was an accident. They just shot a journalist with a white flag, and they claimed that was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be very accident-prone.
Mm-hmm.
Would you comment on both those statements, please, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay, I wouldn't want to have some insurance for those guys, but go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a whole long history of massacres that Israel says were accidents. There was a case where they napalmed a refugee camp and all these other things.
Yeah.
It just happens over and over and over. It just, they kill somebody and when they're caught, it's, oh, sorry, that was a tragic accident.
Is the Liberty assault, is it still viable now? I know, I really didn't remember. I heard little touches here and there over the years, but is it You've been on this for like, it was 36 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you making any progress with opening people's minds to what really happened here? Or the political climate is so, I guess, shark infested for that kind of thing, isn't it?
It is. The automatic knee-jerk reaction is, oh, you're only saying these awful things because you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah. Right,
which,
right.
Of course, no one I know is.
Mm-hmm.
We simply tell the story of what happened, and we're kind of helped along the way by people like Judge Crystal in Florida, who come up with painfully contrived stories attempting to justify the attack and explain it away. And yet, more of those things that happen, the more people we have coming out of obscurity, like Ron a little while ago, saying that, hey, I saw the real-time transcripts of that attack. It was perfectly clear that they were.
Okay, I got another long-distance call. Jim from Tucson, or whoever this is. Hi, you're on. Who is this?
Hi, this is Stephen calling from New York City.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm a member of Liberty Veterans Association.
Oh, good for you.
Not on the ship.
Uh-huh.
Focus on the Israeli claim that they missed.
Right.
This ship had a satellite dish on it as big as a truck.
Uh-huh.
Not often. Mr. Ennis, if you would be so kind to speak to. In the world had satellite dishes. And in 7, how common were satellite dishes? You speak about this.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, what do you think?
Oh, that's a good point. I think there were only two ships. There was only one other intelligence ship that had a satellite dish like that. We were the ugliest and most unmistakable ship in the Navy.
And
it was pretty hard to mistake us for anything else. Our picture... the standard reference on the bridge of every ship in the world, and yet the Israelis claimed that they mistook us for an out-of-service Egyptian horse transport
called the El Quisir.
Yeah, something dated back to Cleopatra, no doubt, right?
Just about, yeah. It was an ancient ship that was even taken out of service waiting to be dismantled. It hadn't been in the water for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have known where that ship was at
yeah.
the time, yet they claimed that they made this tragic mistake and thought we were the El Quisir. I mean, that's just... Yeah, I've talked to Israeli naval officers who say, you know, they wish Israel wouldn't say that because that impugns the experience and integrity of the Israeli Navy, and it's embarrassing to them.
Yeah, right. Okay, I got a local guy named Rashad. Do you have a question for Mr. Ennis?
Yes, how you all doing? Good afternoon. In Paul Finley's book titled Deliberate Deceptions, he stipulates that the reason that the ship was attacked is because the next day, on June 9th, Israel had plans on invading the Golan Heights.
Right.
And they didn't want any transmission of their intentions.
Right.
And also, he also stipulates in there how, because of the Israeli lobby, it was almost a quarter of a century. It was 24 years later, in 1991, before the award that was given by President Johnson, it was actually given, I think Clinton was in at that particular time, but it took 24 years for us to even acknowledge the survivors of this particular catastrophe. Now, I didn't get the mention of his book.
It's called The Assault on the Liberty. I'll be given a number or an address how you can get it there. Jim, make sure I do that before we get out of here. You want to address that? Yeah, I think that's an interesting couple points about that, what he just said. Hello?
Yeah.
About why did it take so long for our government, to recognize what happened here?
Well, I think they did recognize what happened, but they've got a political obligation to Israel, and they're just like President Johnson said immediately after the attack. He said, "I'm not going to embarrass an ally," even though that ally deliberately killed 34 Americans and tried to sink our ship. They have so much power in Washington that our own politicians and our own president won't embarrass them after they kill 34 Americans.
Yeah, we're trying to kill a couple hundred more.
There's
no other parallel like that in American history, is there, about an ally, a supposed ally, doing that to American sailors and doing it with impunity?
Not that I've ever heard of.
Outrage. He gave the real reason, I think, it is in your book, about why they did it, because they were afraid of this. They didn't want to jeopardize, quote-unquote, the invasion of Syria the next day at the Golan Heights. That still doesn't justify this in any way, does it?
It certainly doesn't. And, of course, we won't know exactly why they did it until somebody comes out with some authority and says so. The most logical reason, the one that I've seen suggested most often by American intelligence people, are that they did not want the U.S. to know for sure that they were going to invade the Golan Heights at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And what they wanted to do was surprise the world with a fait accompli when they had the Golan Heights in under their control, and then they could not easily be forced back.
Mm-hmm.
If they were stopped beforehand, they might be stopped from the assault. Now, there is also the possibility that they were, in fact, killing up to 1,000 Egyptian prisoners of war, which was a similar, serious war crime. And that was being done just 13 miles from where the Liberty was on the morning of June 8th.
Would you have heard something in that effect? Would you have done anything or interacted with somebody?
If we had intercepted it, we certainly would have reported it to the United States, and it certainly would have been very humiliating to Israel to have that known. Of course, what they had no way of knowing is that we weren't paying attention. We were listening to the Russians.
I got another Jim. This is waiting from Ferg. He's been waiting an awful long time. You got another question for James Ennis?
Yeah, well, this is a great honor. I had your book out of the library recently. I must admit that I only got it to find out what the immediate disposition of the ship was, whether it had been sunk that day or whether it made it back to port. And through your heroic efforts, of course, you shorted up to the point where you could limp it back to port.
That's a story in itself, is how we got back to port, really.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. Your job was to go out and find out the truth for our nation, put yourselves at risk for that. And you did it in a much bigger way than was ever intended. But unfortunately, people like myself can try to keep this issue and other ones alive as long as we have breath in our lungs. And we will be called that name that you're called constantly. It's not valid. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I don't know what the matter is with these people. I won't rest, and I won't let the people who did this suffer the same fate as we try to make the people who blew a hole in the side of that ship over there in whatever Kuwait or wherever it was, the coal. Until those people suffer the same fate and the same kind of consequences, and they're looked at the same way. That's what I'm going to shut up about this, and I just wanted you to know it. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your book. It's a good book. Very few books can go into that much detail without being boring. It's an excellent book. Thank you.
It's a scary read in many ways. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you later. Hey, James, tell me, how can people get the book that don't want to wait in line at the library?
The best and quickest way is to send $30 to me, Jim Ennis, at Post Office Box 789, Woodinville, Washington.
Spell that for him. Woodinville, like W-O-D-D?
W-O-O-D-I-N-V-I-L-E, Washington, 98062.
98062. I'll repeat that again today as we go on. James Ennis, E-N-N-E-S, at P.O. Box 789, Woodinville, Washington, 98062.
072. I'm 98062.
Sorry.
Or they can go to usfliberty.com and there's a link that shows that address and how to order it.
So I don't totally know. 98072, right?
Right.
Okay, I blew it then. Okay. I got a lot of calls. Let's go to next. Who's ever next in line? Here we go. Doug, how are you? You got a question?
Good afternoon, Bill. And, sir, thank you for your service to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically, I do have a question. It's in reference to what this gentleman has been through. Mm-hmm. I think the way we handled the coal and the WTC buildings were correct. I think what happened to this gentleman and his crewmates, we should have placed over there because under and just on what I just said, and I guess that's about the end of my question.
Okay, Jim, do you have do you have any harsh feelings towards Israel, the United States government, for what happened to you?
Well, actually, most of the harsh feelings among my crewmates are against the United States
right.
for covering it up.
Right.
We're not happy, of course, with Israel for deliberately attacking and lying about it for 36 years, but at least they had a motive. And what's difficult to understand is why Lyndon Johnson covered it up and why senators like the present Senator McCain covered it up.
Was it? I saw McCain in the book. Was that his father?
His father was the admiral that called the Court of Inquiry, designated the members, supervised the product when it was finished, and presided over the cover-up.
So he's maybe protecting his father, I guess.
Obviously,
This is a fellow, Jim, from Grafton, Wisconsin, says it's the home of the Liberty Memorial. I guess you're familiar with that. Go ahead. You're on.
This is Jim from Grafton, Wisconsin.
Right.
It's the home.
Wonderful.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
How are you doing?
Everybody's named Jim today. That's good.
Yeah, well, it's real easy. I tell you what, this issue with the naming of this story, came out of the woodwork, and we were labeled anti-Semitic from all over the world for simply naming a memorial after the 34 crewmen that were killed. On that, too, because we just took hell for 3 years because we had the gall to build a memorial.
That's right. The whole town was smeared for 3 years, even in the New York Times, just simply for remembering the men who died in the U.S. of Liberty. It was outrageous.
And you did have one Jewish seaman that was, maybe it was an officer that was killed, Bob Eisenberg?
We had several Jewish sailors aboard and at least one who died.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, I wish people would get back to being an American instead of having dual or singular loyalty for a foreign country, which really kind of bothers me. Okay, Libertarian, got a question for Lieutenant Ennis.
Well, actually, I had a comment.
Well, that too. Go ahead.
I have a theory as to why they did it.
Why?
Why they attacked the Liberty.
Why?
based on what you hear even today, but it goes back quite a ways, they wanted the West Bank and Gaza. They've wanted that for a long time.
Oh, sure.
Ariel Sharon has said so. They claim it as something that God gave them and all that kind of nonsense. And I think that they had a plan to start that war, and they did fire the first shots on all four fronts, including the U.S., just to get the West Bank and Gaza under their control. And keeping that quiet as to who fired the first shots under international law means that they had, that was not a war of conquest, that they could keep the land.
Okay.
And if it was found that they fired the first shots, then it was no longer defensive. It was conquest, and they'd lose it.
All right, Jim, you in your book, you mentioned something about President, I guess it was Johnson, saying that if Israel did fire the first shot, we wouldn't help them in any way.
But he certainly didn't follow up on what he said.
That's true, I guess. But maybe they thought he would. I don't know.
They may have feared that he would.
Yeah, okay. Andrew, you got a question for Lieutenant Emmett? Hello?
Yeah, I want to go back to World War II.
Well, I'd rather you keep it in what respect? You can compare it to...
Well, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Back in World War II, they said the United States declared war on Germany.
Yeah.
But the way the records said, they never declared war on Germany. They declared war on the Japanese.
Right, okay. Well, I don't think that's real relevant. We're going to go on to somebody else, so thanks for calling. I don't know who this is. You're on with James Ennis from Washington State. Go ahead. Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Burris.
Yeah, your question for Lieutenant Ennis.
Yes, I'm just wondering, if they were going ahead and receiving any communications from the Russians to the Israelis, you know, the Russians went ahead and proposed the State of Israel to the United Nations. They also went ahead and provided them arms in the first years of their independence.
Mm-hmm.
And reading in the Knoxville News and the Shreveport papers, there was 128,000 Egyptian troops that were marched off into the Sinai to let the sun do their work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they said whoever controls the air in the first 3 hours of the fight, they will dominate. They hit 25 different bases in Syria, Jordan, Egypt, and all those surrounding Arab states.
Okay.
I'm wondering now, I think Israel is out for global hegemony, and I think they are working both ends against the middle, having that special relationship with the United States as well as the Soviet Union.
Okay,
I know his view on that.
Okay, did you get into the geopolitics of this now?
I try to stay out of the geopolitics of this. Beyond me.
Okay. One thing that you mentioned, you have a good part of your book is about the cover-up. We've alluded to it a little bit so far, but... I saw your book went through several printings, but yet in some of the afterthought, it didn't seem like it sold, you know, like hundreds of thousands of copies that we thought that would be. Was it deliberate attempts made to silence your book, even through all those printings with Random House, and then you had trouble with the paperback edition and all that?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me some of the
stuff. I could fill up an hour telling you horror stories about the distribution.
Yeah, tell me some of the worst horror stories.
Well, here the first edition came out and was fortunately recognized by People Magazine, which did an interview. Nice two-page spread in People Magazine for the book, which is just an author's dream come true.
Right, I know. I would wish myself.
And suddenly the publisher couldn't manage to print more books. It took several months for them to get more books in the marketplace. Reviews, in Washington D.C. and there weren't any books available to match the reviews.
Uh-huh.
And I got calls all over the country from wholesale book distributors who said, "What's going on? I just ordered 1,000 books 6 weeks ago from Random House, and they tell me that the book's out of print because it's libelous." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" So I called my editor. The editor said, "Nobody ever said anything like that.
But what was happening was that some clerk at my publisher's was telling people who wanted to order it in large volume that it was out of print, and it wasn't out of print at all.
All right, hang, hold that, so we're going to come right back. We have to go to the underwritten by Protective Life Insurance. Phone number out, or you don't want to do that. Hello? Jim?
I can't do that, but okay. My email address is jim@ennes.com.
Okay.
I'm easy to reach.
And give me that website. Jim@ennes.com.
That's right. When you spell ennes.com.
Right. We'll get it that way. Give me the website again, Liberty. What is it?
The website is ussliberty.com.
ussliberty.com. We'll give the $30, Jim Ennes, E-N-N-E-S, and it's P.O. Box 789. It's Woodinville, one word, Washington State, 98072, and it's $30. I'll tell you, enjoyed the whole thing. You know,
and that includes the postage.
Right.
Oh, all the books I ship from that address are signed. It's also available from Amazon.com. But the quickest and the cheapest and the only signed versions come from me.
Okay. There's still some unanswered questions about this whole event, isn't there?
Yeah.
Of those remaining questions, which is the most salient, the one that's just killing you, that you don't really know what happened with that? I don't know exactly which one.
Well, I'd say the most urgent question is why was it covered up so much by the United States government?
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government knew the truth. We learn more every day that there were intercepts from two airplanes that flew high above us that recorded the entire attack and all the conversations between the pilots. Pilots clearly told their headquarters we were American. Were told where the flag. The attack. The United States knows that. I've talked to numerous senior intelligence officials of the United States, people like Admiral Bobby Inman, the founder of the intelligence program, Elliot Kirby, a dozen or so senior intelligence people who were heads of the CIA and heads of the National Security Agency and their deputies, and they all say the attack was deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
You got this crazy author running around writing a book that says that, these people are all confused by the fog of war and it was a tragic accident, but
seems to me a lot of you guys
who say that it was that tragic accident and know what was. We've never found one.
Right. Okay, I got a guy from L.A. calling. I wrote Orange County. I guess that's not exactly L.A. Don, you're from Orange County, California. You have a question for Jim Ennes.
Well, actually, I'm one of Jim's shippers.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure. I don't know.
I don't have DSL, so I was listening to you on the Internet. However, I had to shut it off so I could call.
Oh, go. Okay. You want to add anything to this? Where were you when the attack happened?
Well, I was just on the way down into my compartment, the second deck below, and then I started bringing wounded down from the bridge as the air attack went on.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Ron a question. Ron, have you ever heard from any of our shipmates who think that it was possibly a tragic accident?
No, I do not. And I had two things since I didn't hear the whole show.
Okay.
That I was interested in bringing up. One was when Jim was were you talking about the book
mm-hmm.
being sold back in the late 80s or early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
As I was going through the vet center for post-traumatic stress disorder therapy, I went over to B. Dalton, one of the malls here in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
and at one time found copies of the book.
Oh.
A few months later, I went in there, and there were none on the shelf, and so I asked the kid in the store, I said, can I order it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, let's go up front. We looked at the microfiche, and he said, oh, yeah, it's on the microfiche. They still have it. I said, well, can I order it? He says, no, it says here, the store can only get it if the distributor sends it to him, not
what?
If you can't order it. And I said, well, the distributor's going to quit carrying the book based on no sales.
Yeah.
How is it that you can't order it? I mean, that's sort of shooting yourself in the foot.
Right, right. Or maybe it's deliberate. Just a little oatmeal in the wiring there, so to speak. Hmm?
Yeah, and he just said, well, I just work here. I don't know. And I'm sure he did. He was probably about 19 years old.
What happened to the copies you had viewed? Do you think they were sold or removed?
Oh, no, no, those, I mean, I bought some and,
oh, okay.
And everything, but, and the other thing is, I don't know if Jim brought up about Admiral Starring.
Mm-hmm. No.
As far as the investigation went.
What do you know about that?
Good point, I'm glad you brought that up. Admiral Starring, as a captain, was the legal advisor to Admiral McCain in London.
Mm-hmm.
When the Court of Inquiry was finished, Admiral Starring was asked to review it and prepare endorsements so that Admiral McCain could forward it to Washington,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't do it. He
mm-hmm.
said that there are too many flaws in this report. Mm-hmm. There are tons of findings of fact that are not supported by the evidence in the record,
mm-hmm.
and you need to know a lot more about what's going on. So Admiral McCain took it away from him and had someone else write a quickie endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
He was so upset by that he wrote a letter to his bosses in Washington telling them what had happened and telling them that it was forwarded from his jurisdiction without his permission or agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted Washington to know that he didn't support that court of inquiry at all.
Okay.
And in fact, it didn't hurt him at all because he went on to make Admiral to become the Judge Advocate General of the Navy.
Don, thanks for calling. I'm going to be our local guy. Bob, you have a question for Jimenez?
Yeah, what you're talking about Johnson?
Well, we're talking about the...
No, but he pulled a little stunt in the Gulf of Tonkin, too.
Well, yeah, this is right.
He kind of pulled an opposite on this one, but...
This is a lot more serious, though.
Yeah, but they're along the same lines. They're both cover-ups.
Yeah, okay.
But from what you said and the way our country has gone the last 20 years, it sounds to me like it's kind of a silent coup has happened in this country. That today, you would be more fearful of being called anti-Semitic than anything else. You could be called anti-American. You vilify America as much as you want, but if you say anything about Israel, you are liable to go to prison, which would happen to you if you're in a lot of parts of the world right now.
Are you aware, especially you, Jim, I read about this in a publication that there's legislation pending with even Rick Santorum, Senator Santorum's name on it to make it, I guess, any schools that anything critical of Israel?
I heard that. That's the most outrageous thing I've in years and years, and I hope that's wrong.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
There was a name in the past where we started this country. It's called the British are coming.
Yeah, right.
I say the Israel is already here, and we're at war right now. War has been declared on this country against the people who founded this country, and we're sitting back and letting it happen. We cannot let this happen. We have a revolution that's already happened. It's already taken over, and it's time for us to take back our country from this terrorist group over in Israel.
Okay,
thank you.
Good point. I tell you, the three words in our language that scare the jeebies out of people, and anti-Semitic is one, and homophobic is another, to a less degree, and racist is another. And those do seem to get people into lockstep silence over certain inconsistencies. In
they shut down argument, yeah.
Yeah, you know, this is a free country, supposedly. I feel remiss in not mentioning your captain at all. I guess he was Commander McGonagall, is that how you say it?
That's right.
Did they try to blame him at first?
Oh, no. I was on the bridge, in fact, when the shooting started, and I saw him literally walk through a wall of flame, calling orders and doing what he could to control the ship.
No, I mean, that's sort of a part of the cover-up. Commander McVeigh on the Indianapolis, they court-martialed him, but I think McGonagall got a Congressional Medal of Honor, which seems kind of inconsistency with some of the earlier criticism. How do you account for that?
Apparently Washington, he was heroic and arranged to honor, and yet the point is if Lyndon Johnson didn't give it to him personally in the White House, as they should have, and as they have apparently with every other Medal of Honor that's ever been given, they gave it to him in a tiny ceremony with little fanfare in the Washington Navy Yard.
And somebody blew the reservations at the dinner after? What was that all about?
They mishandled the reservations at the dinner afterward. Wow. They did all sorts of things wrong. It was just a disaster.
That's right.
Didn't get the honor that he should have had.
A lot of your book deals with his, I won't say misunderstanding of the attack, but his apparent not knowing all the facts about the thing. How do you explain that? And finally, before he died a couple years ago, you say he finally understood what happened? Tell me a little bit about it.
He was obviously told early on that we're calling this a tragic accident and you're to go along with the game. And so the entire crew was telling the world that this was a deliberate attack and could not possibly have been an accident. And McGonagall, being a good naval officer, followed the party line, did what he was told, and he just, when asked about it, he just said, was it deliberate? I don't know. My crew thinks it was.
I want to thank you for joining us today, Jim. It was really a pleasure. I hope a lot of people get this book, either from you or someplace else. It's just a wonderful read, and it's something about American history I think a lot of us are very, very ignorant. I thank you for joining us, and I'll try to repeat this as many times as I can, okay?
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, friends, that did join us today or listen. Thanks a lot. That's Jim Ennis with the Assault on the Liberty, a wonderful book. It's been out for a while, and I will repeat next hour how to get it. We'll be back.